Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody will think you're just making a little sand pile. So, it's a Saturday. The Kentucky Derby is over. A horse named Chrome something won it. Beautiful horse. I can't believe those horses are only 3 years old. Man, they grow fast, don't they? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I was watching a channel on my cable. It's 108. Fusion is the name of it. And they're showing this drug addict, a mayor in Montreal, and they got a guy up there from the U.S., and he's interviewing people in the street. And he's asking them, what do you think about your mayor? And most of the people said, is he still mayor? But then he went to the mayor's friends and people who voted for him, and they were all, you know, stupefied, horribly dressed. They were totally wasted. And he said, and this is the mayor's supporters, much like the Tea Party in the USA. Now, when he comes back to the USA, I hope some granny runs him over with her wheelchair. There's no comparison. The people in the Tea Party are your grandmothers and your grandfathers, the people who remember the Greatest Generation, the people who served this country beyond the shadow of a doubt, the people who taught patriotism, lived patriotism, loved God. That's your Tea Party. Your Tea Party doesn't like the way the government is robbing you blind, but you think it's all right because you voted for a Hollywood personality who has no personality. The Tea Party is the spirit of America, and there is no right wing. Attention, communists. communists, that's liberals, progressives, Democrats. Attention, communists, there is no right wing. There's only left wing, that's you, the communists. On the right, we have mainstream Americans. Don't let anybody, especially O'Reilly, paint you as a right winger. O'Reilly is a fence sitter. He will never stick his toe in the water. He will never dip his toe in the water. But he does go after judges who don't defend children. He does that very well. And if it wasn't for him, the Red Cross would have screwed all the victims of 9-1-1 because they had that money spent in other parts of the country already. And he caught them at it, and they all had to come back and behave. Yeah, they had to cancel the Red Cross ball. And the head of the Red Cross, I think, makes $850,000. You know how much the head of the Salvation Army makes? $24,000. She ought to go down and teach the Congress how to pay bills. God bless the Salvation Army. Give to them whenever you can, because they gave everything to the World War II vets, the World War II combat troops. And the Red Cross was charging them for coffee and donuts. Ask any World War II veteran how they got treated by the Red Cross versus the Salvation Army. They will all tell you Salvation Army gave them coffee and donuts for free, and the Red Cross charged them and said, you don't need the money where you're going. How's that? That's a quotation from a guy who served. And I'll take his word 100%. So now that we've got you enrolled in the Spirit of America Party, and you can't wait to strike a blow for freedom, I'm going to. I mentioned they were talking about the upcoming election, and you can't trust the Democrats because they're letting illegal aliens vote. So I just put up a little question, and it said, after the Mexican citizens vote, will they go back to Mexico through the tunnels? Yeah. So then I said, well, you know, there are Mexicans that are good Americans, and I don't want to offend them. So we can give them a La Bamba. Marinero. Okay, we're back. Condoleezza Rice drops out of Rutgers commencement after protests. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has decided against delivering the commencement address at Rutgers University following protests by some of faculty and students over her role in the Iraq War. These people have nothing better to do than to lose a country. If it wasn't for us going to Iraq, we never would have got rid of Saddam, Uday, and Qusay, and Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, communists always divide and conquer. Now, here's a black lady, and they won't show her a courtesy because they're all a bunch of racists at Rutgers. Rice said in a statement Saturday she informed Rutgers President Robert Barshi that she was declining the invitation. Commencement should be a time of joyous celebration for the graduates and their families, Rice said. Rutgers' invitation to me to speak has become a distraction for the university community at this very special time. The school's Board of Governors had voted to pay the former Secretary of State under George Washington Bush. And National Security Advisor, $35,000 for her appearance. I tell you what, I'll appear, and we'll open up with a Pledge of Allegiance under God, and then let the riot begin. Yeah, and you know what? I'll do it for $20,000. Rutgers officials later issued a statement saying they respect Rice's change of plans, but there's no room on a school that has no First Amendment rights. While Rutgers University stands fully behind the invitation, they don't have the Liberty Bells to back it up. But some students who run the university, along with the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Communist Party of North America, formerly the Democrats, threatened to take it over like Putin's taken over the Ukraine. And that's the name of that tune, and we'll go to another Mexican tune, La Bacchina.
Tiene una pena, dicen que tiene una pena que la hace llorar. Altanera, preciosa y orgullosa, no permiten la quieran consolar. Pasa luciendo su real majestad, pasa caminando, los mira sin verlos jamás. La Bacchina tiene pena y dolor. La Bacchina no conoce el amor. Altanera, preciosa y orgullosa, no permite ni la quieran consolar. Dicen que alguien ya vino y se fue, dicen que pasa las noches llorando por él. ¡Mi mariachi!
por él. Dicen que pasan las noches llorando por él. Dicen que pasan las noches llorando por él.
You know, the greatest generation also had the greatest love affairs. One-on-one. Here's some other headline garbage. Hillary Ratman Clinton hasn't decided to enter the 2016 presidential race. She decided when she was 54. At least not yet. But Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia said Saturday it's never too early to start backing her. Kaine told a Democrat women's breakfast in early voting South Carolina that Clinton has shown grace in handling all sorts of problems, like the murder of four guys in Benghazi, right? Yeah. Oh, she had a blood clot. It had nothing to do with it. She just didn't want to attend any hearings. Oh, yeah, that's right. And this guy is talking to a Democrat women's breakfast. He said the former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady, the Senator from New York, and anybody can buy New York. Ask a mayor of Bloomingdale, the 16-ounce boy that used to go into the subway station bathrooms with a 16-ounce beaker to find people who drank more than their quota. Unbelievable, man. Anybody can come from New York. It's like a dumping ground. You want to be governor? Yeah, come on in. We got room for you. Yeah, just bring the cash, you know, bring the cash. So anyway, this guy, Kaine, he told these women at the women's breakfast that she has what it takes to be president. Yeah, sell out the country, pocket the money. But then Kaine also told the women after breakfast to clean up the dishes. Yeah, he's for a women's lib. And this girl doesn't have to do the cups and the saucers. Yeah, she got the accumulated backbone and scar tissue and a blood clot, which you'll never see the x-rays of, and wisdom and judgment. Yeah, like who cares how they died? You see, politicians are so scroungy. I wouldn't be caught dead with this woman. This woman is the kiss of death. She is the Joe Blisterfick of lightning bolts in a black cloud. Unbelievable. And all of these little suck-ups are all hanging around. It's all about the champagne contributions. It has nothing to do with God and country. It has everything to do with fill my pockets next. Unbelievable. And she's considering how to run. And she's looking over. She sees four wooden soldiers in the Republican Party. She can beat all of them together. Yep, we're going to have to put a real woman up against her. How about Colin Powell? Yeah, there's another guy, right? The Republicans brought him along. Come on in, Colin. We're going to bring you in. We're going to make you a star. We're going to promote you all the way up, man. Affirmative action. You got it, baby. We're going to take you to the top. Now you're at the top. What do you say? I'm voting for Obama. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's terrible, man. We need a leader. We need a man that's full of fire. We need somebody that can say you're fired. So in the meantime, we'll go back to the World War II generation who had the greatest love affairs.
Let there be light, and there was a light. Let there be earth, and there was earth. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please let there be you. Let there be rain, and there was rain. Let there be heaven up above. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please let there beginning of dawn. You are the meaning of everything. How could anyone go wrong? Let there be stars, and there were stars. Let there be moon, and there was moon. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please let there be you.
Okay, here's a little, this thing didn't make the news that much. Minnesota teenager charged with planning school massacre. Police, and I'm looking at the school, it's a nice looking school, probably built in the 50s or 60s, and it's got a little play gym for little children. Yes. Bombs were allegedly found, allegedly, you pick it up, you look at it, you say it's an alleged bomb. Yeah, it's ticking, it's allegedly ticking. Found in March at Hartley Elementary School playground in Waseca. I don't know what's happening in Minnesota. They seem to be losing their minds. Authorities said, is the whole country losing its mind? You got to see New York. They did an interview yesterday. And they asked the three people, the question was, who should have nukes? Should it be us, or should it be the Russians? And do you know what the answer was? Nobody should have them. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a feeling that if everybody thinks that nobody has nukes, somebody's going to get one. Don't you think? You think that one guy gets out of bed and he goes, you know, nobody's got nukes. If I come up with one, I rule the world. I used to do a bit about the camel caravan. You know, it goes back to the 7th century. Guy pulls into a camel caravan because there's safety in numbers. And the bigger the caravan, the safer it is. So he comes in and he's sitting at the campfire. And one guy says to him, that's a very beautiful woman you have. How many in your caravan? The guy says, 20. He says, what are you carrying in goods? Oh, we're carrying gold, we're carrying silver, we're carrying jewels, we're carrying silks. He says, how many men are in your caravan? He says, 10. He says, you know what? We're 200. I think I take your woman. I think I take your caravan. I think I take your life. And that's how that works. That's the real world. And until you start living in it, you're going to kill a lot of people. So going back to Minneapolis, a southern Minnesota teenager who idolized a gunman from a Colorado high school massacre was charged Thursday with planning to kill his parents and sister and then slaughter students and staff at his school, authorities said. Gee, that sounds like Adam Lanza all over again, doesn't it? You know, if people are suspecting video games of creating this violence, what do you say? I don't know much about video games. I'm from the Pac-Man era. What do you say? John David Ledoux, 17, this kid. He's going to do in his mother who suckled him into life, laid out his plans in an extensive journal. So he wrote a journal and amassed bomb-making materials, including gunpowder and ball bearings, as well as firearms and ammunition. Waseca, Minnesota police said, Is Minnesota where what's that guy's name used to be on Saturday Night Live and then he became a senator? What's his name? He votes everything anti-American. Al Frankenstein. We believe that Ladue planned to carry out his attack within the next few weeks. Waseca Police Captain Chris Markison told a news conference. And right after that, he was arrested by the Department of Justice for police brutality, for saying alleged. Yeah. And Eric Holder arrested him in person. Ladue's journal had references to school shootings such as the Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, where two students killed 13 people and themselves in 1999, a criminal complaint said. He idolized one of the Columbine gunmen and critiqued what he thought they had done right or wrong during their attack, it said. Ladue told police he wanted to carry out his attack on April the 20th, the 15th anniversary of the Columbine massacre, but could not because it was Easter Sunday. He had to go to church. Yeah, I'm putting that in there. The complaint said there'd be nobody there. He'd be hunting the kids hunting for Easter eggs, right? Helicopter moms, everybody makes fun of you. You better helicopter, lady, because there's nobody looking out for your kids but you. The plot was thwarted when someone called police Tuesday night. And girls, it's time to learn how to use a gun. You should belong to the NRA. You should take safety courses. You should go to the shooting range and practice on something that you like. And meet a nice guy after seeing, and you can play helpless, and he'll show you how to load the gun and everything. See, don't think that doesn't go on. I know cops that are working with female cops, and the female cops will ask the cop to load the gun because they just did their nails. You think I'm kidding, right? Yeah. Welcome to the world. Suspicious person carrying a backpack enter a storage unit and close the door behind him in Waseca, a town of 60 miles south of Minneapolis. Police encountered Ladue and saw bomb-making materials at the unit. Markison said police searched the unit and his family's house, found firearms, ammunition, prepared bombs, and the papers documenting his plans, Markison said. He was charged as a juvenile with 4 counts of attempted murder, first-degree murder, 2 counts of first-degree attempted criminal damage to property, and 6 counts of possession of an explosive or incendiary device by a person under 18. He remains in custody. He had planned to kill his family, set a fire in rural Waseca to distract authorities, and then head to the building that houses Waseca's junior and senior high schools with more than 900 students. Based on Ladue's account to police and his journal, he planned to set off numerous bombs during lunch, kill a school resource officer as he responded to help, then set fires and shoot students and staff before being killed by law enforcement officers. That was his plan. Luckily, it didn't come to fruition. And you know what? It's very sad. I got 2 grandchildren in grammar school, in kindergarten, and one's in kindergarten, one's in the first grade, and you know the first drill they had in school? Lockdown. Lockdown. Go hide in the bathroom, children. Huh? We're living in a different world. We're living in a different United States. Half of the country is drugged up and the other half is committing crime. You cannot leave your schools unguarded. You have to have guards in the schools, guards with weapons. If you don't do it, you suffer the consequences. We got plenty of money. Take some of it from the government. They got plenty. They got so much, they don't know what to do with it. Let me go back. We'll play you a tune. We'll sing some songs together. Did you ever go camping? Was camping fun? Camping was fun, right? Wasn't it? Okay. Here's an old one from guys that loved only once. There were no divorces back in World War II. Did you know that? You had to go to Mexico to get one.
Let me call you, sweetheart.
North Korea seen testing engine for intercontinental ballistic missile. Kim Jong-un guides the multiple rocket launching drill of women's subunits under KPA Unit 851. Whatever that means. North Korea has recently conducted engine tests for an intercontinental ballistic missile that could potentially deliver a nuclear warhead to the United States, a U.S. think tank has said on Friday. Think tanks. I don't trust think tanks. I don't trust senior fellows. I don't trust anybody that's speaking with no skin in the game. I want to see a guy with his pants torn and the bomb just went off and he's excited. That's what I want to see. Yeah. And North Korea conducted at least one engine test for the KN-08 missile in late March or early April, the think tank 38 North said, marking the latest in a series of tests for a missile believed to have a range of more than 6,000 miles. Following the engine test, the next stage for North Korea would be to test launch of a missile, according to 38 North, that's the think tank, which is affiliated with Johns Hopkins Universities. I wonder if they're on the first A-bomb hit list. As this effort progresses, the next technically illogical step is the missile's development would be the flight test of the entire system. Oh, I'm just going to drop this one in Denver, okay? Commercial satellite imagery indicates movement. And this way I warm up the free pot and removal of missile stages and fuel tanks, as well as changes in the flame trench that point to North Korea having conducted one or more tests in a two-week period from March the 22nd. Oh, let's see, if they had launched it on March the 22nd, and this is May the 3rd, would it take that long to get here? Is this report relevant? Yeah. Oh, no. Kalwaragan. South Korea's defense ministry declined to confirm the specifics of the report, citing intelligence policy, but said a long-range missile launch from the north could not be ruled out. It's terrible, terrible. In December 2012, it launched a long-range rocket that successfully put an object into space orbit, and in February last year, conducted a third nuclear test. Well, we can check if they're if they put something in orbit. Can't one of our spacemen from NASA get up there and take a look? Oh, there's no more NASA? There's no more spacemen? Oh, and the Russians won't give us a ride? Oh, why didn't you tell me that? No wonder we're losing our country. A South Korean government official said preparations for a nuclear test that, you know, years ago, Marco Polo went to China, and you know what he brought back? He brought back gunpowder, and the Chinese were using it for fireworks, but when Marco brought it back to Europe, they used it to blow down castle walls, and ever since that time, man has always been improving his ability to make bigger explosions, and now we're up to the atom bomb, and we're even up to the neutron bomb, which makes everybody disappear, but the building stays, so everybody can move right in. The winning side can move right in, occupy the house. Yeah, but everybody in this country seems to think, like those three that were interviewed about who should have the nuclear superiority, and they said nobody. They all think that if we don't have them, the other guy won't use them. Now, I got to ask you a question. We were the first ones to have it in World War II. Do you think if the Russians had been the first ones, what would they have done different? If the Nazis, the Germans, had the first one, what would they have done different? And if the Japanese had the first one, would they have brought it to California after Pearl Harbor? No. No, none of them would. They would have respected us. Yes, you're right. They would have respected us into oblivion. Analysts doubted whether the appointment would significantly impact Kim's grip on power. He's got a 1.2 million man strong army. Didn't Saddam Hussein have that? But there were no weapons of mass destruction because they were all in Syria. You know where they were? They were in a warehouse at the corner of Kerry Boulevard and Kennedy Lane. Yeah. We'll go back for a tune. We'll make your day. No, we did that one already. We're going to do Love Potion number 9. Back, and I'm looking for a tune that's like pays a tribute to women's lib, something, you know, that girls can stand up and enjoy as they show their woman's power, women power. Let me see if I could find something. Oh, here's one. It's called Little Egypt.
Step right up, folks, and see Little Egypt do a famous dance of the pyramid.
Now at Georgetown.
She walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. Just one thin dime, one tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks.
I went and bought myself a ticket. I sat down in the very first
row.
They pulled the curtain up, and when they turned the spotlight way down
low,
yeah.
and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy sitting on a spot saying Phoenix, Arizona, 1949.
But let me tell you people, little Egypt doesn't dance there.
Think that if you had seven kids crawling around the floor, you could say you qualify for combat pay and battle fatigue pay? I think you could. I think women should get paid for staying home and having babies. $100,000 a year. Yep. Let's go, girls. Let's build this country. We don't need to import talent. We can make our own. At least 42 people were killed in a street battle between supporters and opponents of Russia in southern Ukraine. This guy, he is dying to take it all. And then he'll be looking at Poland. That ended with dozens. He starts to get Stalin, Hitler, egomania. That all of Europe is in trouble. The only ones that can stop him is Germany. It's the only ones. Going to be a lot of refugees on the roads. And these people in the Ukraine, they have suffered through World War II. And then this woman, I got a picture of a woman, she's crying. And the reason she's crying is she's getting deja vu. Stalin murdered 10 million Ukrainians, starved them to death, cordoned them off. They were farmers. They were self-sufficient. But they owned the land, so he pulled a Harry Reid on them, and he starved them out. He starved them to the point they used to export the food. They were known as the breadbasket of Russia, and to this day, they're still the breadbasket. So what does Obama send them? He sends them food. Yeah, he doesn't send them love. He sends them food. And you know what happened to those Ukrainians? They ended up eating their own children to survive. We have no idea. We throw one-third of everything we consume into the garbage in food. We waste one-third of what we eat. Try to eat. How many times you go to a restaurant, you can't finish the meal? The meal goes in the garbage. You know how many people that meal could feed? Yes, we're spoiled, we're selfish, and we only care about the watashi, me, just me. It's all about me. Yep, we're going to have to go back to early Christianity. We're going to have to go to the Colosseum and die. Pro-Russian rebels in the East freed seven European military observers on Saturday after holding them hostage for 8 days. Look, we're letting them go. We rescued them. While Kiev pressed on with its biggest military operation so far to reclaim rebel-held territory in the area. Did you see the general that Putin was sitting with? That general looks like he could obey an order to destroy a whole country and all the people in it. The riot in the Black Sea port of Odessa, instead of that little worm we got running around, running for office again, what's his name? Oh God, I can't even think of his name. He used to be the commander in NATO. What a joke he must have been. He was attacking Bush and Cheney the other day. What a little worm. What a little worm. He's another affirmative action worm. Yeah. Yeah, jerks. He fits in the jerk category. The riot in the Black Sea port of Odessa ending in a deadly blaze in a besieged trade union building, was by far the worst incident in Ukraine since the February uprising. An uprising. You send the guys in and they rise up. It's like sending Mexicans in through the tunnels. No, don't bother bringing the drugs, guys. You just got to go vote and come right back. Yeah, but don't forget to vote for Obama. Obama in Mexico. Mexican means Obama. Yeah, crisis in the Ukraine and there's photos. You don't want to see the photos because this could happen here one day. You know how close Russia is to Alaska? Sarah Palin can see it from her window. They got a little gap, little water gap between Russia and the United States. We never saw them coming, and you know, who would ever think that they could come down from the North Pole? Who would ever think they went through Canada so fast and the Canadians were waving? They thought it was carnival. A couple of hundred pro-Russian protesters in the eastern city of Donetsk stormed the governor's business premises and the state security headquarters, ransacking files and smashing windows. You see these guys? They're all thugs. They're KGB thugs. The attack reflected growing disorder in the area, targeting, as it did, a security building that had already been brought under rebel control. "This is for yesterday," said Tatiana Kamineva, outside the governor's office. "Damn monsters, worse than monsters." Oh, did I do it right, Putin? Did we rehearse this, didn't we? The Kremlin, which has massed tens of thousands of soldiers on Ukraine's eastern border and proclaims the right to invade to protect Russian speakers, said the government in Kiev and its Western backers were responsible for the deaths. Oh, Russians are the masters of the big lie. They are the masters of the big lie. Communism, there's only one ruler in communism. That's the guy on top. Everybody else is dispensable. Did you know that Stalin took one of his right-hand men, Molotov, and he found out that Molotov's wife was Jewish, and he sent her to a concentration camp, and Molotov said nothing, because if he said anything, he would have been next. So he said, "Bye, dear." Kiev said the violence was... Now, somebody, Hollywood can make a love story about that. Sick love. Kiev said the violence was provoked by foreign demonstrators sent in from Transnistria, a nearby breakaway pro-Russian region of Moldova, where Moscow has a military garrison. It is said most of the dead who had been identified so far were from there. On Saturday morning, people placed flowers near the burnt-out doors of the trade union. Ukrainians don't have a chance. The Ukrainians don't have a chance. And nobody's coming from the United States. We didn't come for Hungary in the 50s after we incited them to rise up. And then we just... was that the last bullet I just heard? Okay, all right. Okay. Too bad. And the people in Taiwan, if China makes a move, we're not coming. Don't count on us. Don't count on us. And the people of Japan, if China makes a move, we're not coming. Don't count on us. We're not coming for anybody. We couldn't even come for four guys on a rooftop in Benghazi. You think we're coming for you? Events took a violent turn on Friday when a column of soccer supporters chanting support for Ukraine's leaders clashed with men in black, some firing pistols. Television pictures showed police caught between the two sides. Yeah. Putin, I call him Rasputin, he's an instigator. And he will outmaneuver Obama any day of the week. Clashes then spread among the streets until rebels moved into a large trade union building. Petrol bombs were thrown and shots were heard, though the exact sequence and detail of events remains unclear on Saturday. You know what? You know who's going to get involved? Obama's going to shove this on the UN, and the UN is going to play stick in the mud. You know the UN that went in to find the weapons of mass destruction, and they sent in their UN inspector and an American guy that took a bribe from Saddam Hussein, allegedly. You remember that? You know who the weapons inspector was for the UN? to find the weapons of mass destruction? His name was Mohammed Baradei. He just recently ran for president of Iran. Yeah. You know what? He's going to twist me up. Nevada Supreme Court has upheld Steve Wynn's $7.5 million judgment in a civil defamation case against Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis. A three-justice panel in an order dated Thursday rejected arguments by Francis that a default judgment granted by a Clark County judge in 2012 should be set aside because his attorneys had withdrawn and he was unable to defend himself. Justices said the soft porn video empire founder's last-minute attempts to challenge the default were an attempt to stall proceedings. Wynn sued Francis in 2008 amid a legal tussle over a $2 million gambling debt Francis incurred the year before at the Wynn Las Vegas Resort. In 2012, Wynn was awarded $21 million against Francis after a separate slander trial in Los Angeles. So all the money this guy made in the dirty movie industry, he's giving to gambling. And Ben Affleck has been banned from a blackjack, at a Las Vegas casino. Yes, he was caught counting cards. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, unbelievable, man. What are we going to do? Our country is going to pot, and it's all starting in Colorado. When are we ever going to have a dream?
Will you take part in my Try to give
We told you that Condoleezza Rice won't speak at Rutgers. Risky relaxation, the most dangerous beaches in the world. Oh, man. The deadliest national parks in the world. That's scary. Let's see what the deadliest national parks. A lot of people go to the parks. Face to face with a cottonmouth? Yeah. That'll get you. That will get you. So, we're going. Okay, we'll go back for a tune. And here's a nice one. Started rock and roll off many years ago. Dr. Dobson lashes out at Obama in a letter. He's calling him the abortion in chief. Very bad, very bad. That's not in good taste. Killing kids is in good taste. But we don't call it the killing kids. We call it aborting a fetus. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? And there is a new drug that is being pulled off the market. It's called Zohydroer, or Zohydro-ER. After you take it, you have to go to the ER. State and federal lawmakers are working in tandem, oh boy, that'll only take 9 years, to get the controversial painkiller Zohydro-ER permanently shelved, even as the head of the Food and Drug Administration defends the agency's decision to approve the powerful opiate some critics call heroin in a capsule. The head of the FDA said, "Look, I took good money to approve this thing, and I can't let my backers down." Since its approval last October, Zohydro, an extended-release form of hydrocodone, has come under scrutiny from members of Congress, state attorneys, generals, doctors, and the mayor of Toronto, who have worked to block the pill from being sold in the U.S. FDA Commissioner Margaret Hamburg strongly defends the agency's approval. And she just checked into rehab. It's not true. I'm just making it up. We'll fill some time here. You know what I mean? So there's another drug on the market. Wait till you find out that marijuana is going to be sold on the commodities market. Yeah, the price per bale. It'll be right next to Hog Bellies. Three Republican lawmakers. This first one should be removed. His name is Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, and Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. You know what? All of a sudden, they want to make the news, just like that Congressman Hahn walked out on that religious guy Dobson because he was calling Obama an abortion director. And so she stormed out. She stormed out of a religious meeting. Yeah, she stormed out. And is the press out there yet? All right, wait, let me know when they're there and I'll storm out. Okay. You want to do a march? You ready to march around the house? Is that good? Do you like that? Okay. Want to march back to Mexico? Okay, we're back. You want to hear the five signs your marriage is at risk? Your husband hasn't been home in 3 years. And the note he left is turning brown. You begin to feel apathy, like when he falls down the stairs and he can't move his legs. And you go to the movies. When you're negative about your spouse, all your conversations with friends and family members about your spouse are negative. Like, get a load of this jerk, you can't do anything. You avoid being home with your spouse. Yeah, that's what I said, three years. He went out for a walk, he never came back. But we know somebody that went out for a walk and never came back. And his wife couldn't declare him dead because there was no evidence. But he was in the mafia. And that was it. And it was really sad. You fantasize a lot about being single on your own. And you go to basketball games by yourself. And you sit next to Sterling. You have a light bulb moment. And the light bulb tells you you've been tolerating a marriage that simply does not work. I know guys that have ended it overnight. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a story on that I learned from somebody that was related. Nice young girl. She had a big wedding, invited all the guests, paid for the guests to all go down to the Bahamas in a chartered plane, and had a house built back home. And when she came back from the honeymoon, she sued for a divorce. You wonder what that guy did, right? What happened? He showed up at on the wedding night wearing a negligee? Who knows? Maybe he wore combat boots. Who knows? Maybe she wore combat boots. Let me give you a nice mascanada. We'll do a little Brazilian. Sorry about that. I tapped it to get the light back on the screen, and I killed the song. Okay, we'll make it up to you. I'm just looking at the ferry in Korea that lost all of those kids, and it's really sad because you could see that they're disciplined children, and they follow orders to the letter, and they were told to go and stay in their cabins. And that's where they died. You got to be out on top. Anytime, as a matter of fact, all the drills bring you right to the side of the boat. They, of course, I'm not quarterbacking here. I just know If that had been my crowd, somebody would have said, I'm not staying here, I'm getting on top. And when one guy went, they all would have followed. And but these kids were disciplined. They accepted the command, and they went into their rooms. And now they're pulling them out of the rooms. The number of missing persons has fallen to 66. But if you're in New York and you happen to be on the Staten Island Ferry and that starts to go down, get up on the top deck, because New York Bay is very shallow and the ferry rides in channels. And if the captain has any time, he can just take the ferry out of the channel. And if that ferry sinks and you're on the top, you got a very good chance of not getting your feet wet. So just remember that as a little tip. It may save your life one day. You say, that guy that had that radio show, you know, he wasn't that bad after all. It's too bad they hung him. Okay. You want to do a little Latino? We'll go to Moliendo Cafe, or are you tired of Latino music?
Cuando la tarde languide se renace la sombra, en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Cuando la tarde languide se renace la sombra, en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Una canción de amor, una tristeza, lleva el zambo Manuel en su amargura, y pasa la noche entera moliendo café. Fresquecito café, calientito café, ay Manuel,
moliendo café,
ay Manuel,
moliendo café.
Okay. All right, we're back. Okay, we're looking at hats from the Kentucky Derby. I got to tell you, I enjoyed that ceremony and the atmosphere at the Kentucky Derby, watching it on TV. And when they played my old Kentucky home, I seen some people swell up, you know, a little American pride. There's nothing wrong with having American pride. The communists don't want you to recognize your own country. They don't want you to recognize how great that we once were. and could be again if we don't fall asleep in a morphine overdose. So let's see what the comments were about the hats. So silly, but what fun. Somebody tell Chauncey that his jacket should extend below his fingertips. Hey, there were many guys with hats on. In Arabia, why are the horses called ships of the desert? And somebody said, no, those are camels on the ships of the desert. True, but why? What a fiasco. I'm watching Derby on TV, and I have to tell you, they all embarrassed this country by putting that yo-yo ice skater on TV. He is a flamer with his hat and lipstick. What an F-up country. When we look up to the weirdo like this. Now you can call me some type of racist. I am supposed to respect this guy / girl. Here is the interviewer telling him how wonderful he, she looks. Hats off the TV station. Hats off to the TV station for embarrassing themselves. And the guy responded, he's a horse lisperer. Do you mean Johnny Weird? I wonder what they wear at camel races. Did you know that at camel races, they use young boys as jockeys because they're terrified and their screams make the camels run faster? And do you know that they buy the boys from their parents or they lease them from their parents to go to the Emirates or for the camel races? Yes, all is not equal in La La Land. That looks about right for horse abusers. You think these horses are abused? Of course they are. These horses are the owners / riders' pride and joy and bread and butter. You think they actually would abuse them? My mistake should have been who? How cares what the bimbos look like, the horses and jockeys win the race? There are several fellows with hats in case you missed that. You mean I'm going to get all excited about the wrong thing here? What horses? Oh, lighten up, Rich. It's about tradition and people having a good time and gently teasing the rich owners, wives, and friends who started wearing them decades ago. Well, they got it from Ascot, didn't they, in England? And they all wear the top hats, and the men wear the top hats, and the women wear the big hats, the flowery hats. Nothing wrong with it. And that's what the people of Kentucky like. That's it. States' rights, baby. So, having said that, we'll run for a tune, and we'll dedicate this one to short people. give you a little innuendo. Execution in Oklahoma in which the condemned prisoner writhed and moaned as he received a lethal injection, outraged death penalty opponents, invited court challenges, and attracted worldwide attention. How about the murder of the girl? Did you see that girl he murdered? What was it, three guys? They raped her? She was a little high school kid. And when they were finished with her, they threw her in a grave, and then they shot her. And she was still alive, and they buried her alive. You think I'm going to have sympathy for the guy that did it? You got to be kidding me. However, I am for bullets over injections. Bullets, I think, are more humane. They put horses down with bullets. But the inmates' agony alone is highly unlikely to change the minds. I realize this may sound harsh, Christian said, but as a father and former lawman, I really don't care if it's by lethal injection, electric chair, firing squad, hanging, or the guillotine, or being fed to the lions. electric chair, I would do bullets. I think the state of Utah uses a firing squad. Hanging has worked for years. Nothing where the trap door opens up and you're gone. Look, they hang Saddam Hussein, didn't they? Bush did it. Bush hanged him. Yeah, he went too far. He went to Iraq. When his father went to Kuwait, they said he should have went to Iraq. He didn't go far enough. Then little Bush went to Iraq, and they said he went too far. And then in the next interview, the Democrat said, my porridge is too hot. And Bob Bickle lost it in defending the Communist Party on Benghazi. And he had to admit that Benghazi was a cover-up. And you know what his answer was when he finally had to admit it? So what? You know that that's a classic Democrat answer? When you take away all their argument points, rather than say they were wrong, they say, so what? you listen next time. Surveys by Gallup indicate that support for the death penalty remains strong and getting stronger. In the United States, though it has declined over the last 20 years from 80% in favor of capital punishment, I like when O'Reilly says, I'm against the death penalty. We should send him up to Alaska for life. Why are you doing this to the people of Alaska? Do you think they want that? Do you think they want that? Oh, do it again. It says for all the POWs, prisoners of the war and prisoners of war, of the war.
When I cannot close my eyes and the night goes on, troubles taunt on every side and my doubt is strong, shelter me, shelter me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Prince of Peace, shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God who comes near, come and shelter. Does your mercy cease? By the power of your hand, grant me my release and shelter me, shelter me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God who calmed the sea, come.
Enforcement report has revealed allegations of sexual abuse of elementary school students by a former Los Angeles teacher who previously pleaded no contest to committing lewd acts on children. A 2-year sheriff's inquiry involving Mark Berndt found more than 100 possible victims, including some children who say he molested them. The Los Angeles Times is reporting. Berndt, who taught at Miramonte Elementary School, was given a 25-year sentence after entering a no-contest plea to 23 counts in November. Prosecutors said Berndt fed students his semen on cookies and by spoon in what he called tasting games, sometimes blindfolding and photographing them. The allegations in the new report are the first to be made public that Berndt 63 sexually abused students, the newspaper said. The new revelations were first reported by Public Radio, a station KPCC-FM. Berndt's attorney, Manny Mandrano, dismissed as without substance the broader abuse alleged in the sheriff's probe. We've always maintained that there's no physical touching of students, Medrano said. 512-page report is confidential. And when did this all happen, and how long did it take, and why didn't anybody see what was going on? So you mean it's not only the Catholic Church, huh? It's also in the public schools? How come we don't do a big investigation in all the public schools? Wiley indicated that Berndt was suspected of touching students in a sexual manner and exposing himself, while also urging students to touch him. 63 lawsuits filed on behalf of students against the Los Angeles Unified School District has been settled for a total of $29.5 million, and dozens of others are pending. The first trial is scheduled for July. Berndt, who taught girls, you're helicopter moms, there's a reason why you're a helicopter mom, and don't let that helicopter not fly into a school. You got to have eyes everywhere and listen very carefully to what your children say, and watch any change in behavior that is negative. Berndt, who taught for 32 years, this guy has been doing damage in South Los Angeles School, was removed in 2011. The case led to a wide-ranging overhaul of how the nation's second-largest school district handles allegations of sexual abuse. After it was revealed that previous complaints about Berndt's behavior were ignored, one out of five girls going to college is being raped. Think about that. And parents, keep that helicopter over to college, too. Shortly after Berndt's arrest, the school district temporarily removed all 76 teachers at the school, along with staff and administrators, putting them on leave and having them report to an empty high school nearby. 6 months later, when the new school year began, 43 of them returned to a restructured Miramonte with a new principal. The rest either retired or went to new schools. None was accused of any wrongdoing. There's only one guy by himself. 44 tons of marijuana seized in Tijuana. 4,000 packets of drugs were found. Tijuana is known for huge marijuana seizures because of its proximity to the U.S. Every time you light a joint, you kill a Mexican. You don't believe that, do you? No, you got to go down to Mexico and see what's happening. Here we go. We're going to do a skivvering. like that? This song we're going to dedicate to all the young guys who serve, that half of 1% that knows what life is really all about and the price that they pay to keep us all free so we can all squabble amongst each other.
Well, how do you do, young Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit down by your graveside and rest for a while, need the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I need the dawn. I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great father in 1916. I hope you died well and I hope you died clean. For young Willie McBride was a slow and obscene. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did he play the pipe loudly? Did they sound the dead march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last constant chorus? Did the pipe play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave it a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed and far apart behind the glass frame? In an old photograph torn, battered and stained, I'm faded to yellow in a brown and dark frame. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did he play the pipe loudly? Did they sound the dead march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last golden chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer's breeze, it makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gunfire now. But here in this graveyard is still no man's land. The countless white crosses that melt in the sun. Two months blind and different to his fellow man. To a whole generation that was butchered and damned. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did he play the pipe loudly? Did they sound the march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last Boston chorus? Did the pipe play the flowers of the forest? I am Willie McBride. I can't help but wonder why. Do those that lie here know why did they die? And do they believe when he answered the call? Did he really believe
start to swan would dance to one. While the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying would all done in vain. But only my friend, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Today beat the drum slowly, did he play the fife lovely, the death down, the dead march, and the lover you down. Did the band play the last fountain chorus? Did the pipe play the flowers of the fall? Did they beat the drum slowly, did he play the fife lovely, the dead song, the dead march, and the lover you done? Did the band play the last fountain chorus? And did the pipe play the flowers of the fall?
Thank you.
Okay, so what do we find now? You want to do a little a Willie Bobo? I may cut this one short. We got 12 minutes left. Go look for a wild rover.
I've been a wild rover for many a year, and I spent all me money on whiskey and beer. And now I return with gold and gray stores, and I never will play the wild rover no more.
And it's no, nay, never, no, nay, never, no more will I play the wild rover, no, never.
I used to frequent, and I told the landlady me money's been spent. I asked her for credit, she answered me nay. Such a custom of yours I could have any day.
And it's no nay never, no nay never, no more will I play the wild rover, no never.
Took from me pocket 10 sovereigns bright, and the landlady's eyes opened wide with delight. She said, I have whiskey and wines of the best, and the words that I spoke sure were only in jest.
And it's no, nay, never, no, nay, never, no more will I play the wild rover, no, never.
To pardon their prodigal son, and if they caress me as oft times before, sure I never will play the wild rover no more.
And it's no nay never, no nay never, no more will I play the wild rover, no never, no more. And it's no
some facts about Leonardo da Vinci. Take them for what they're worth. This is from The Guardian. Da Vinci's mother was a slave. Italian study claims that she was of Arab descent. Interesting, huh? Amazing facts about Leonardo da Vinci. Let's see what they say. He was born in 1452. To parents who were not married. His father, Piero da Vinci, was a notary while his mother was a peasant woman. So that's all the facts they got about Leonardo da Vinci. That's pathetic. Efren Zimbalist Jr. died at 95. Good run. Good run, Efren. Very good. He outlived two wives. Good-looking guy. He used to play the FBI. And I told you about Steve Wynn. He slapped George Clooney. George Clooney cried. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. And police. Simon made 911 call that led to arrests. Unbelievable. Singer Paul Simon and his wife, Edie Brickell. Oh, Edie Brickell. Yeah, I love it when they have separate names, right? Or a woman with two, never trust a woman with two last names who names her child after a train station. Never trust a guy that wears brown shoes with a blue suit. The couple was arrested Saturday on disorderly conduct charges in Norwalk, Connecticut. They're in New Canaan, Connecticut. That's kind of ritzy up there. I used to go up there and visit a guy that I used to do business with. guy was all personality. Everybody loved him. Then he bought a business and he turned into a rat. Guys couldn't believe it. Overnight, this guy changed. He had been playing everybody to win the popular vote. Where have I heard that before? Yeah. That's terrible, man. Such a betrayal. There should be a Judas Award for that. Okay, how much time we got left? The song Dixie was written in a New York hotel by an Irishman. I'm just looking here. Okay, we'll find another tune. It's 1.5 minutes left. And what we will do is we will find Steve Earle. I missed him. Okay. Picadillo, Fan Your All-Stars. I almost had it. Today what we'll do, a little Latin music from the Vatican.
O salutaris hostia, quae celi panis hostium, bella primundo filia, da robber fer auxilium. Deo Patris dit gloria, eiusque soli filio, cum
this, I'll share it with you. They came as slaves, a vast human cargo, transported on tall British ships bound for the Americas. They were shipped by the hundreds of thousands and included men, women, and even the youngest of children. Whenever they rebelled or even disobeyed an order, they were punished in the harshest ways. Slave owners would hang their human property by their hands and feet and set them on fire. As one particularly severe form of punishment, they were sometimes burned to death and then had their severed heads placed on pikes as a warning to other captives. This may sound like a description of the atrocities of the African slave trade, but we're not talking about here about African slaves. We're talking about white Irish slaves. Irish slave shipments to the American British colonies began under the reign of King James I in 1620, with the transportation of 200 enslaved Irish political prisoners. The Irish slave trade continued and greatly increased. When King James II sold 30,000 Irish prisoners as slaves, his proclamation of 1625 required Irish political prisoners be sent overseas and sold to English settlers in the West Indies. By the mid-1600s, the Irish were the most numerous slaves in the British West Indies. From 1641 to 1652, over 300,000 Irish were sold as slaves, and another 500,000 were killed outright, as Ireland's population fell from about 1,500,000 to 600,000 in a single decade. And they have a picture of Irish slave shackles. In the 1650s, Britain's Lord Protector, Oliver Cromwell, a hated man among Irish Catholics, succeeded in capturing the island of Jamaica from the Spanish and was keen to colonize it and make it profitable for England. It was a much larger island than any other previously colonized by Britain in the Caribbean and required a new approach to populate it and make it viable. Cromwell launched appeals within England and the Americas for planters to settle in and send the labor to the colony of Jamaica. This met with very little success, so Cromwell turned to his man-catchers in Ireland and ordered them to round up and transport several thousand women and as many young men as could be lifted out of Ireland to work on the Jamaican plantations as slaves. There was also a specific request for 2,000 children to be taken, transported to the colony, and put to work. Conditions on Jamaica for the Irish were horrific. They got a picture of a mother with hardly any clothes and two little children, two little urchins. They worked long hours in the searing sun and heat, and most died and were buried in the sugarcane fields where they toiled. The deaths of Irish slaves in these conditions were rarely reported, so the fate of many thousands remained unrecorded. There were severe punishments for those who attempted to escape. First offenders were whipped as savagely and had a year added to their term of bondage. Repeated escape attempts were punished by hanging. Slaves who struck a plantation owners were burned alive in a gruesome manner. One visitor to Jamaica at the time recorded, "They are nailed to the ground with crooked sticks on every limb and then applying the fires by degrees from the feet, burning them gradually up into the head, whereby their pains are extravagant." Testified to an Irish slave girl. Testimony of an Irish slave girl. Cod Daly was 10 years old when she was kidnapped from Galway, Ireland, and sent as a slave to Barbados. During the 1650s, over 100,000 Irish children between the ages of 10 and 14 were taken from their homes and sold as slaves in the West Indies, Virginia, and New England. The Cromwell government in Ireland gave slaving monopolies to good Puritan merchants, who then sold their merchandise to other good Puritans. In fact, the first witch to be executed at the notorious Salem, Massachusetts witch trials was an elderly Irish woman named Anne Glover, who had been kidnapped by Cromwell forces in Ireland and sold into slavery in the 1650s. A pious Catholic, she could recite the Lord's Prayer in both Irish and Latin, but she couldn't speak English, so Cotton Mather and the Salem Puritans hanged her as a heretic witch in 1688. Then they have a picture of an Irish slave warehouse in Newfoundland, Canada. Many people avoiding Irish, calling Irish slaves what they truly were. Instead, they often used the British euphemism, indentured servants. Oh, they didn't tell me about this in school. However, in most cases during the 17th and 18th century, Irish indentured servants were treated as nothing more than human chattel. An unidentified servant was usually sold for a fixed period of time, typically 6 or 7 years, while the indenture was supposed to last for a fixed period of time. If the indentured person did not abide by their master's rules, their indenture could be extended indefinitely. In the 17th century, nearly two-thirds of emigres to America came as indentured servants, while many emigres sold themselves into indentured servitude in exchange for passage to the New World and a promise of employment, training, and pay. Most Irish servants were involuntarily indentured and were often kidnapped from their homes or off the streets of Ireland. Indentured servants could be bought and sold, could not marry without the permission of their owner, were subject to physical punishment, and saw their obligation to labor enforced by the courts. To ensure uninterrupted work by female servants, the law lengthened the term of their indenture if they became pregnant. Theoretically, indentured servants could look forward to eventual release from bondage if they survived their period of labor. Indentured servants were supposed to receive a payment known as freedom dues and then become a free member of society. For most of the 17th century, however, indentured servitude differed little from permanent slavery. Both male and female indentured servants were often subject to violence resulting in death. The large number of indentured servants who ran away or committed suicide suggests that the condition of their lives during their time of bondage was unbearable. Female indentured servants were often raped. Cases of successful prosecution for these crimes were very uncommon, as indentured servants were unlikely to have access to a magistrate or to have their testimony given any weight. Given the high death rate for indentured servants, many did not live to achieve their freedom. During the 17th century, 33 to 50% of indentured servants died before the end of their terms of bondage. After the Civil War in 1865, the 13th Amendment ended slavery and involuntary servitude. Ultimately, the enslavement of Africans had persisted in the American South and West until 1865. However, the enslavement of the Irish had not lasted that long. The system still existed until the early 1780s, but following the American Revolution, the British slaves, supply of slaves and indentured servants from Ireland to America and the Caribbean dwindled and stopped altogether after the British slave trade was abolished by a parliament in 1839. So there's a little history that you never knew before, and neither did I. You're learning it sooner than I did. Okay, we're out of here. Have a nice night, and we're finished.